Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hoo-ah! I'm gonna kill you!
That's my new catchphrase.
are you making yourself big in Essex?
The bishop didn't like the crack, so the DJ left the town, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Pep Guardiola's injured. It's Wednesday, 23rd of August. I'm Marcus Bella.
That sound mental. Okay. Sorry. You were
Pep
right.
Guardiola's
you
injured.
You were right.
Okay. I said to Jim, I was like,
sorry, I
hadn't
read.
Can I mention his injury?
I hadn't read
the
way
you'd
written it. I thought it was going to be part of a three. I didn't think it was going to be such a celebration.
It's because the intro line is so long.
Yeah. Okay.
The bishop didn't like the crack, so the DJ left the town, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Thierry Henry's got a new gig. It's Wednesday, 23rd of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Vinicius Hunter-Raja.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Hi, everybody. Good to have you with us on this wonderful Wednesday. Thanks to John O'Shea for that intro line.
Sorry?
From not the John O'Shea.
We don't know that. A John O'Shea.
We don't know that.
Well,
do
at
we?
The moment, we have to call him A John O'Shea. Okay. It's from the song the DJ, Tommy K the DJ by Mike Denver from the album There's Only One Mike Denver.
You can't call your album that.
Yeah, well, he has.
Well, he's done it.
I did a quick Google search of Mike Denver before we came on just to find out, you know, are we getting stitched up here?
Right,
basically.
Yeah, okay.
As far as I can see, we haven't.
Oh, sorry,
but maybe
me.
That alarm going off suggests.
I'm going to be playing out some audio later on, and I always forget to mute when my WhatsApp fires off.
I thought that was just the lawyers going, sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there.
Objection.
So yeah, if you are going to use very obscure references from songs, that's fine. But, you know, maybe leave the artist and the title of the song in there so I don't have to spend half an hour Googling it. I nearly went with
with Metin Selick's The Power of Love is a Curious Thing. Because when I was handed these lyrics, I was genuinely listening to that song.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is a bit
weird. It's curious.
But it's, well, Jim, exactly. So an honourable mention there, but I went with the Tommy Kaye line. Anyway, everybody, do sign up to the Patreon to choose a line. Right, let's get down to some football business. There was a bit of football last night.
There was.
Involving a British club. A very British club, you might say. It was Glasgow Rangers 2, PSV Eindhoven 2 in a Champions League playoff game. Good game at Ibrox, Jim.
Yeah. Couple of brilliant goals for Rangers.
A couple of very good goals for Rangers, yeah. And Ali McCoist on co-coms at Ibrox is always preferable.
Yeah.
After when Rangers scored the second goal, there was it was a questionable one whether the ball from Todd Cantwell. Nice to see Todd Cantwell,
yeah,
by the way.
Gliding around. He's going to have a lovely time.
He is.
We've got Jack Grealish at home.
Yes. there was a question of offside, and McCoist was worried that it was going to be given as offside. And when the game restarted, he just went, check over, your beauty.
Lovely.
I quite enjoy it when people comment. For some reason in this country, everyone's like, commentators should be impartial. They should be impartial. Yeah, at times. Like for Premier League games, yes, of course. You can't have Ian Drury go, yes! But for, when I quite like the stance.
I think you should get the option. We've got enough technology available now that
Sky Sports did it at fan comms.
They did.
If you do a better version of it, where you just get your
professional.
That's essentially what the formerly known BT Sports did.
I think just you have an informal version and an unbiased version and an like overtly openly biased version.
There was on TalkSpot this morning, Ali McCoist was talking about how much
he
doesn't care for coffee.
Yeah, good man. I'm the same.
That's all he's got. All we've got this morning.
I can't stand the stuff. Child's palate.
Yeah, you don't like any hot drinks, do you?
No.
Why would I want hot liquids other than soup in my mouth?
Why does it change with soup then? Yeah, why do you want soup in your mouth, Marcus? Soup boy.
Because it's got a bit of stock in there.
It's got a bit of stock in there.
So if you add like beef,
salt,
beautiful British stock.
Like Bovril.
That's a good one. Miso.
No, because I'd rather just put Marmite on my toast.
Chicken coffee.
Nonsense, poopy pants. Well, make it and we'll see. We'll talk.
Okay. All right. If I make that, you'll try it.
Of course.
All right.
Although I'd want to see you make it, I think.
In summary, Alan Brazil can't be arsed with any of it.
No, good man.
He knows what drinks he likes.
I was about to say. It just gets in the way,
doesn't
it? You'd
think coffee would have helped him out doing the breakfast
you
show.
You really do. How does he do that when he doesn't have... Imagine if he has a coffee and goes, well, I can drink more now. Yeah.
I thought there were two different versions.
If Matondo's volley had gone in right at the end of that game, I don't think we would have seen Ali McCoist again. No.
You think he would have blasted off?
That would have been it, like a champagne supernova.
Yeah. Did you see Luke de Jong booted a door off its hinges?
What,
really?
During the game?
Yeah. Well, he stormed off down the tunnel and he booted a door off its hinges at Ibrox, and he's going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah. That's impressive, though, right?
Yeah.
You think you could do that? I couldn't.
Depending on the. Most of the doors in my house, I could and have. I think it's quite difficult. You'd have to really place it next to the hinge, wouldn't you, the booting?
I guess so.
There is a
Which implies he's done it before.
Yeah.
There's a slight Terminator vibe about him.
Is there?
What, Terminator 2.
I know what you mean.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, about
at any moment he could enact a collapsed lung like he did at Newcastle.
I was about to say, how do you reflect on his time at Newcastle? 12 appearances, no goals.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
No, but nice to see his face though.
It is nice to see
his face. Scored one off the shoulder.
32?
Yeah. No.
Wild.
How's that happened?
Wild.
Yeah. I thought he was older.
Him and Sisko left Newcastle a year ago. You ask me.
Blimey. Well, look, the tie is nicely placed.
Poised
is the word I'm looking for.
Poised and placed.
Exactly, yeah, because if you've been to Eindhoven, I haven't, but I assume it's a lovely place. But it's poised. And of course, we've seen Rangers triumph there before. So let's see what goes on when that comes around. Tonight, everybody, this is quite a nice one, this. Aston Villa go to Hibs in the Europa Conference League qualifier. John McGinn faces his old side, of course.
The power arse.
Yes, indeed. Do you know, he said last year that if he didn't have his arse, he'd be at Yeovil Town.
He did say that, didn't he? Yeah.
Do they all have slimline bottoms at Yeovil?
Slimline bottoms?
I think if you work for Yeovil Town, you probably think, why have you brought us into this? How precise is your model of this other timeline? Have you worked this out?
Just stood in the stands. You got no junk in your trunk.
Yeah.
John Boo.
Boo. I don't know if you saw the nickname that cropped up maybe 2 years ago of McGinn the Stallion.
Nice.
That.
Very, very good.
McGinn the Stallion should it not be.
No, but you don't pronounce the D.
I know, but I like to do that.
Fair enough.
They call him McGinny Esther as well.
That's a good one.
Also good. Don't know about his arse though with McGinny Esther.
Oh, don't worry about that. He's one of your favourite players, is he not?
He is. He's so enjoyable. I don't know if you remember, but during Euro 2020, they went around the players and they did this video of people pronouncing their names. So, you know, a lot of people on the continent with complicated names, you know, how you know, pronounce them and with the phonetic spelling underneath. And I urge you, if you haven't seen it, watch the video, because in the middle, John McGinn pops up going, John McGinn! Just like that. It's very good. He's also one of those players that, like, you kind of think he's about to hit his ceiling at some point. Like, you know, when Villa do really well, you're like, oh, okay, I wonder, like, if he's the guy who's going to be replaced. And actually, he's not. He's actually integral to their energy in midfield, and also, like, got a bit of craft about him as well. Very enjoyable. United were actually linked with him.
You'd have bloody loved that.
Yeah, that would have been great. But obviously, it would have, but as I said, it would be one of those signings where people are like, why are you going after John McGinn? Why can't we spend an inordinate amount of money on someone else who won't be as good?
You're not interested.
Like a very Alex Ferguson signing that.
Yeah, I'd have that.
Yeah, someone who who he just would improve, like in that United team, would just improve by being around better players.
But as we've talked about, Manchester United are not interested in any kind of balance in midfield this season.
No, I don't want it.
No, exactly. Yeah, so it's
boring, isn't it?
Why does this table have four legs? Get rid of one.
It's well overrated. Do you know both his brothers, Stephen and Paul? I say both. I know he's got two brothers. Stephen and Paul played for Hibs since he left. So he's a lot of McGinn pedigree at Hibernian. So it should be an interesting one tonight. So all eyes on that. Gentlemen, I'd like to move on to some troubling news coming out of the Manchester City camp. It was announced yesterday that Pep Guardiola has been suffering from severe back pain for some time, and he's flown out to Spain for surgery. Odd when a manager gets an injury.
Yeah, but I mean, what's particularly odd about it is he's going to stay there for a while, isn't he? He's actually taking some time out. He's going to miss games and everything. So it must be pretty serious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I wish him well.
I could imagine he has a very high pain threshold as well. Think about how animated he's been, like jumping up and down and so on. A back injury is like, you can't mess around with them.
They're not great. They're about the worst thing that can happen.
Yes.
To anyone.
Really?
The worst thing that can happen to anyone. I just always think that, like, it's usually the preserve of tall men who enjoyed their time in the dating scene, but it's time to pay the price. Pay the piper. You got to pay the piper eventually. And I go, yeah? Did you enjoy Tinder? Yeah? Well, you're going to get a bad back, tall man.
They had fascinating insight. Oh,
no. You'll be next 6 footer.
Have you?
Shock Kings unite! Come on!
Yay! Come on! Wow. There we are.
Come on!
Oh dear, lads, let's get rid of the Cuban heels. Come on, be proud of who we are.
I'll take my shoes off if you take yours off first. Would it be that surprising if at Bramall Lane, because City are playing at Sheffield United on Sunday, would it be that surprising if suddenly you looked over, no, just like holding his drip, still in his gown?
Yes!
Just shouting, like, why is he still here?
With a little gown with his bot hanging out?
Yeah, it's like off his head on meds. Like, yeah.
They'll have him on
Where's
an iPad
Nathan?
On a Segway, right?
Where's Nathan?
Where's my Nathan?
Where's my Nathan? He's playing red and white. Where is he?
Relax, drink water. Where's my Nathan?
Oh, dear. Oh, man. I think it's easy to get in the Man City starting 11 than a hospital gown, by the way. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous, but there we are.
Do you think this will affect them then? Not having him on the touchline?
Watching them at the weekend? No. Because you can't get the effing ball off them. That whole set of is kind of built for Pep not needing to be there. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, it's a bit like with Barcelona when he left there, and then was it Villanova, the late great Villanova, who then the idea that everyone just moves up one.
Yeah,
but the thing is,
he'll have an emergency weirdo ready,
of course. but this
one's really into trains. Hello, where's Nathan? Oh, not you again.
Get me Tim Ream.
I think, you know, Pete's spot on there when you think of, like, his previous two assistants have just gone on to manage clubs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, left and managed Arsenal, and, you know, Maresca's there at Leicester City as well.
But I think with Wadma, he's like, there was chat about it. I think it was Man City released a statement about this, and then they said, you know, but Pep and Wadma, you know, they both love this game, and but this is like, obviously, like, he's Pep Guardiola's assistant. Yeah. He's not half-assed about football.
He's not his PA, is he?
No, yeah. I'm more of a rugby man, really, but I'll give it a go. But yeah, so it will be interesting, as you say, because he won't be there. But he's such a charismatic madhead. Yeah. I would imagine it would affect the team somewhat. Although maybe it's a little holiday for them, perhaps.
They should have him up on the screen, watching from wherever he's recovering.
My goodness.
Mic'd up as well. Imagine it, just barking orders at them.
Yeah.
Dinky, dinky, dinky!
Maybe they'll get that lad who was in the crowd who was shouting at Pep at the weekend.
Oh, yeah!
Maybe this is all leading to.
You think you can do a better job, can you?
Well, you've got your opportunity. Now I'm going for a plumbing back operation.
That'd be a flex, wouldn't it?
How do you feel about this, Mikel?
Well, didn't Pep say that he was going to... That lad, he should make a substitution or something or whatever.
The lad was shouting, Pep, make a sub, make a sub. Yeah, do you want to come down here and do this?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't put it past
Red Knapp-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Red Knapp-esque.
Yeah. There's been some good crowd participation at matches, actually, bearing in mind it's not always the case.
participation. It's well, not the dynamic.
Yeah, we never talk about
welcome.
This, do we?
No,
we're talking about the racism, everybody on the pitch.
I'm just saying, not everybody. The young lad at Crystal Palace.
Right.
When.
Want to shout at Eric Cantona?
Him. It was just a bit of banter.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cantona can't take a joke. No, it was the lad against Arsenal on Monday night who got sent off. Tommy Asu.
Tommy Asu
went down the tunnel, there was a lad who, way past his bedtime, by the way, it's 8 o'clock kickoffs.
Yeah.
And he's really passionately pointing at the tunnel, where there's nowhere else to walk, going, go, tunnel, get down there.
I forgot about him.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I hope he still feels shit about that result. A little punk.
Oh, there we are.
Yasu.
Jim biting back.
Yeah.
Yeah, against a child.
All right,
yeah.
Okay, for a change. Jim, the big chat, though, coming out of Manchester City, and, Opta specifically have said that Manchester City have a 90% chance of winning the Premier League, and Arsenal only 4% chance.
Yeah, that's
a dig, isn't it?
That is a dig.
Two games in.
I don't know how they've worked that out,
Arsenal,
but they tend
to be quite good at these things.
Arsenal
that's a bit
have
worrying.
Got 6 points.
Yeah, one of only three teams.
In. How come it's 4%?
Not even playing particularly well yet.
That's outrageous.
It is outrageous, isn't it? Is it a dig? Are Opta doing banter now?
They must be, through fact.
Yeah. It's a prediction, isn't it? It's not a fact.
I resent having to drag us back to the 90s, but very Quantum Leap-esque, isn't it? Because those things going to go up and down. So Al, being aided by
This is a
Gushy.
Reference I don't even get with...
No.
You haven't said...
Big fan of Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Never watched Quantum Leap. Interesting.
Wow. Too busy watching.
No. Speaks volumes, Jim, doesn't it?
It
speaks volumes.
Yeah. I was more about Dean Cain in The New Adventures of Superman.
Oh, he's gone off the boil.
Has he?
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh, dear.
Rather reactionary, let's say.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
He used to be Superman.
I know, and now he's not Superman.
Not so Superman.
Dean Cain, Jim Corr. Matt Letizia.
Jim Corr, has he gone conspiracy
that
theory?
That way, yeah.
I think he always was, wasn't he, thinking about it, yeah.
I think this is more for Ramble, you know, uncut.
Ramble uncut,
show finishes,
right, okay,
yeah. So
fine.
Perhaps we'll pick up the
pieces. Yeah, let's save it for the people who pay. Yeah.
Well, we need to tell them who to avoid.
Yeah, fair.
This,
fair.
We're crying out loud. Let's move on to Liverpool, who also have been given a 4% chance of winning the title. Who's got the 2% chance, or have they shared it with just 1%? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's surely Opta will be able to tell you. McAllister's red card, nearly said Gary McAllister there. Alexis McAllister's red card against Bournemouth was overturned on appeal yesterday. Sent off in the 58th minute, of course, when Liverpool were 2-1 up. So good news for Jurgen Klopp and his gang. What did you think of this one, Vish? Did you think it was worthy of a red card?
No, I didn't. And I thought it was interesting how Liverpool approached it because, you know, reports emerged after the game that they were considering the appeal, but they were basically weighing up the risk of potentially getting it extended because, you know, that's what happens when it's a frivolous, when they deem it a frivolous appeal.
I think it's a strange rule, that, isn't it? Because it's not automatically frivolous to appeal something like that.
No.
And the whole point of that kind of being there is a deterrent so clubs don't appeal every single thing. But if it's genuinely frivolous, then just extend the ban. A thing like that could surely never be frivolous. I think it's really silly and quite sort of combative from the FA as well. It's a strange one.
You don't really mean this. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's basically
don't
like,
you question us.
Yeah, it's more like, how can we avoid the paperwork? Oh, I just punish them further. That's basically it.
You get the feeling that it doesn't help the game in any
no.
way.
No.
Like, it's the, not, none of this is good. But to be fair, it doesn't happen very often in a season. They rare, maybe like two or three a season, yep. gets kind of asked to be rescinded.
Yeah, true enough. And because it was a straight red card, wasn't it?
Mm.
That's why it could be appealed. Yeah. Whereas if you got a second yellow, it's...
Like Tomiyasu, for example.
Yeah, again,
I would be appealing that.
It seems completely arbitrary that you can't appeal those.
Very frustrating indeed. Mm. But Liverpool will have Mr. McAllister back in there. What do you think of Liverpool's start so far, Jim? Do you think it's a fair reflection that Opta have given Liverpool a 4% chance of winning the league?
I feel like their squad isn't quite finished yet.
You don't expect this to be a Liverpool from sort of two or three years ago, that kind of stuff.
I think they're going to have to get back up to speed to head towards that. I think they'll be better than last season, I would expect. There's a lot of unexpected change, but it's, you know, we've been talking for a long time about how they needed a bit of a refresh. Maybe they wouldn't have perhaps expected to have lost Fabinho or Henderson, but it's happened now. There are fresher legs in there, new faces. You can get yourself into a rut, can't you, by trying to emulate the feats of a team from a few seasons ago when there are still a lot of those players around. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think, you know, Szoboszlai looks brilliant already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And McAllister, we know, is a very good Premier League operator and World Cup operator.
I think Endo might turn out to be a sort of quite canny signing as well. Everyone's like essentially screaming out for a big name, a big sort of flashy new toy. But I think he potentially fills the role that they need in midfield there.
So Endo,
I think,
for Endo.
Indeed. Yeah, I think there's more to come from them.
More to come from them. So don't worry, Liverpool fans. We think there's more to come. Are you pleased that Thierry Henry's got a new gig?
Always.
It's been announced that he's the new coach of France under-21s, which also means he'll be in the dugout for the Olympic Games in Paris next summer. Oh, yes, Fish.
I mean, he's probably in the area next summer, isn't he?
Sometimes football gets it right.
Yeah. Do we know if he's a good coach?
I don't care about
and
that.
And I'm asking that to someone who...
Is a good coach.
Well, who publicly... you're the first person who's ever said, well, certainly I've ever heard, who had a go at Thierry Henry as a pundit, and a few people backed you up. You said you thought he was a bit of a ninny, something like that.
Pratt was the word. Astonishing, isn't it?
What is just some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth, you know, but...
I don't like hot drinks. That sort of cool stuff.
Yeah, is it some of the stuff that goes into his mouth? Is that the problem?
No. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean. It's what comes out of a mouth, the mouth that makes someone unclean.
Goodness me. What a sentence. Where's that
That sounds
from?
Very Old Testament, that. Yeah.
It is from the Bible. So to answer your question, Jim and Pete. But I did sort of row back on that because somebody who we all know who works with him said that that wasn't the case.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I think this is good. If we get another clip of him shouting, you know, shouting at players.
But surely at under 21 level, I mean, obviously, yes, they do need coaching, but what an inspirational figure to have for the young
lads.
Got
to be more than that, though, isn't it?
I think some
of the criticism of Henry as a coach has been that he, much like Glenn Hoddle had actually, was that he got frustrated that players essentially weren't as good as he was.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah.
And that's not ideal, is it? That's just not useful.
Yeah, but Hoddle could coach, though. But you're right that some of that criticism was there. I just, for me, the fact that he's going to be in Paris for the Olympics with the France under-21s or under-23s, is it? I think the age of, for the Olympics.
For the Olympics, yeah. It's
a lovely old job.
Three players over 23, and then the rest of the squad under-23s. Yeah, it is. So you just basically want to see him dressed nicely on the touchline.
Exactly, yeah.
Frenchman goes to Paris.
Do you think that the...
Frenchman looks good in Paris.
Yeah. We look at his career through our kind of like, you know, older lenses, so to speak. Is it 21-year-olds? Is Thierry Henry going to mean a massive amount to them?
Yeah, he is.
In their age?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of... I think players like that, in terms of the reverence from, you know, from fans who weren't around to watch them, it's carried through current players, and it's when they adore him and they see like players going up to him and hugging him.
When Oasis used to talk about Paul Weller a lot.
There's a bit of that,
and he had a bit of an Indian.
I think that's absolutely spot on. I think, you know, even with, you know, you have it with bands where like they talk about their inspirations and suddenly everyone's really into them and whatever.
Yeah.
One of the only things I saw him do as Belgian assistant coach. Was score a ridiculous free kick, and De Bruyne and Lukaku were like all over him, and like that seems to be it.
Yeah, right.
Clearly, really talented, can tell like brilliant players how to do those things, and they still adore him, and that's part of the appeal. And I suppose maybe this is when we find out if, you know, I say this, maybe this is when we find out how good a coach he is. They do have some fucking incredible young talent in France.
You can't mess that up, surely.
Yeah. Oh, he did with Belgium, so let's see.
I'm joking. That's harsh. All right, Jim, perhaps you'll maybe get behind this a bit more. Carlos Tevez has been reportedly made the new manager of Independiente.
Now, there is a prat.
I didn't see him moving into management.
No, I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
There's not enough money in it.
He'll quit after three games because they've not got him a gold helicopter.
But there is a little bit of sort of football-y romance with Carlos Tevez. Did he not take a big pay cut to go back to Boca Juniors?
And they absolutely love him in Argentina, don't they? Mm. He's considered to be really the heart and soul of the team. There was a time where he was considered, you know, that they loved him more than Messi, despite all the things Messi was doing. So
Messi had the last laugh.
Indeed. But for people who aren't quite aware of why I found Carlos Tevez so irritating, it was that he just sulked all the time and he'd like force his way out of clubs, and that time he wouldn't come off the bench for City, and I just found him to be a big baby. And that annoyed me about
it. The whole thing off
the
bench,
it's a long time ago.
There's two sides to that story, apparently. Mm. And he was a phenomenal player.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, the way he basically kind of went on strike, they signed Aguero and then he came back and then they won the league.
Yeah,
like, I do think he was an incredible player. I'd like the idea that what he takes from his playing career into his management career is just doing doggies up and down the touchline.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Just keeping up with the sulking. Yeah.
Do you not like the fact that he was a big part of Man City mugging off Ferguson and Man United? No, the noisy neighbours. Welcome to Manchester.
Absolutely not. Okay. Of course not.
All right.
The arguably the worst thing to happen to the Premier League since Roman Abramovich. So no.
Yeah, if you put it like that, and I remember.
You're a bit Tevez-y.
Thanks.
Squat.
Stocky.
Pratt. Take a pay cut to go and play for Boca Juniors.
You would never do that, would you?
No, just pay me anything.
Also, you're a fan with South American football much more than I am. Is there not like a rivalry issue at play there?
Oh, but most of the clubs in the Argentinian League are in Buenos Aires.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, the rivalry is obviously Boca and River.
Yeah, but like the fact that he, you know.
Yeah,
it's just not River, right?
I think that's probably it. I think, as I say, there's so many in Buenos Aires. It's like, is he really going to go to somewhere like, I don't know, Rosario or out far the north? It's a very vast country.
Like if Frank Lampard takes over at Fulham, no one's going to kick off.
Okay,
right, yeah. But that's a bit different. I think that, you know, he's just obviously going to manage somebody in the capital. So
yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, and he can handle himself, don't worry.
do you remember Carlos Tevez, the disappointed baby?
No.
When he was
one of your pilots that he made.
When he was at he went from Manchester United to City, didn't he?
Famously,
hours before he signed for City, a Manchester United fan called her baby Carlos Tevez.
Oh,
remember?
But
the baby's face in the photograph, and I've got it here.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh more than any other baby's face because he looks so disappointed. He looks so gutted about the whole thing. Mm. Carlos Tevez, the baby.
Oh dear. I hope that.
I hope they're doing very well.
I hope his name is something different. goodness, gents. Let's finish the half with something quite nice coming out of Malaga. Now we recently heard about the Palmeiras fans who made the advert in New York Times Square aimed at their chairman. On holiday, which
like
was quite
this.
Enjoyable,
like
very
it.
Enjoyable. Well, Malaga fans have done something like way better than that. Mm. They're so unhappy at their club not making a summer signing that a group of them went to the airport and picked some random tourist to greet as a new player. So they were there all in their kits. They had the band up and they all were all just celebrating. And some fella walks out and says, "Hey, he's here!" Imagine being on the receiving end.
He's so bewildered as well. Yeah. It's brilliant. Yeah. He goes along with it, but he just out of, I guess, the pure like scale of the peer pressure.
Well, just explain it to me and I'll go along with it.
If anybody went for a run during COVID when we were doing the clap for the NHS, you know, it would be for a moment when you look up, you go, "What is that?" Oh, yeah, that's, I understand that. But he didn't have the understanding, but it was that moment of, what have I? Have I won something? Do I get a luxury car?
Do you remember that? There was a sketch.
Surely give him 10 minutes as a sub.
Just bring him on. That'll show the fans.
you think that's funny, do you? What do you think of this?
There was a TV show once that basically, it might have been Trigger Happy TV or something. They camped out outside a sex shop.
And went,
out. They put the banner going, millionth customer, millionth customer. Like balloons and stuff. And he's like, oh, God.
I love this because it's absolutely like, basically should be the dictionary definition of banter, or certainly what it used to be in terms of like, no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
It's just funny. Mm. It's fun. Also, peak banter, shirt number 69.
Yeah,
love it. If you're the club and you are trying to sign players behind the scenes, surely you're going, look at the reception you're going to get. He doesn't even play for us. Yeah. He's just a guy.
They'd done like a shirt and found out the guy's name and then wrote it on the back.
They just had like, I can't remember, it had something written on it the number was 69.
Okay,
but someone pretending to be his bodyguard. I'm like pretending to push people away. Yes. It's amazing.
It's a lovely
job.
I
love that.
Very, very enjoyable. Again, football once again getting it right, everybody. Yeah. All right, let's have a quick break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yeah, and I know we're not experts, you know, we're not doctors, we're not scientists, but
everybody, that was Matt Letizia there with some unwise
important
words. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Now, we've got an important urinals update. Fish, you have opened a right old can of piss with this. We had a flood of correspondence about it. And when you mentioned you heard a chap in the bogs at a football match talking about wanting a urinal in his house, and the chap's wife saying no, understandably so. Well, yeah, so a lot of correspondence about this. Jerry Dunham emailed showatfootball.com to say, two things that struck me. One is that Vish probably peed in one of the urinals that I supplied to Loftus Road recently. We refurbished some toilets there. Hope he enjoyed the experience. And two, there is such a thing as urinals in a house. My mate from Germany has one.
Yay!
Well, nice to hear someone so proud of their work.
Yeah.
Uberinal.
I'm on board.
This is
like
why
it.
We left the EU. Because of shit like this.
Oh dear. Have you, it's nice that you've pissed in another man's handiwork.
That's what you're saying. I don't think I did use those urinals because the
you're more of a bowl man.
Well, it was a, you know, it's just a trough. It's Loftus Road. It's so old.
Yeah,
it was one of those.
It's just a trough. That is still a urinal, though.
I don't think it is. Is it?
I think it is.
No, it's a trough, is it not?
Let us know.
I mean, let's see how long we can make this.
Do you have a piss trough in your house? Let us know.
Yeah. Well, interesting.
If you do have a piss trough in your house, never listen to us again. Don't email in.
Well, it's interesting. He said that his mate from Germany has one because other German listeners, apparently we've got some German listeners, which is lovely. Willkommen, have been in touch to say it's common in Germany.
It's a strange one. It's not like a sort of Japanese super toilet, is it?
I mean,
element here.
I'm off to Japan on Friday. I cannot wait for it to blow
water in
my bum. Cannot wait. So that I have that in my house.
Bastard.
Well, this is the definition of being opposite, isn't it?
You pervy bastard.
Yeah.
Correct. Do you not think that, like, Japanese toilets and a urinal, you've completed life? Like, that's just absolutely ideal.
I don't know. I think, to me, having a urinal in someone's house, it is a bit like going to a French service station. You're going, I'm just going to use the toilet. Where is it? It's a hole in the ground.
Right. Okay.
How, this is just
when did you last go to France?
I know,
been
yeah.
on a booze cruise.
But, oh, massively, Jim. You were missed that year.
Little beer doors.
No, it's true. It's French service stations. Some of them have that. Have you never?
Yeah, I mean, like, they're big in, like, South Asia,
A long
France.
Drop.
Like, not that far away. You don't expect to find a long drop in France, do you?
Right.
Dearie
Did you need a piss because you were queuing up for the border at this end? Is that
why? I had a lot of time on my hands. Yeah. The queue was massive.
Apparently, and you've got your sovereignty back, so you were happy.
Apparently, French service stations also, I suppose it depends what part of France you are in, but have incredible food.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this one didn't.
Check it out.
No.
Adrian Childs apparently has one in his house.
Adrian Childs?
A French service station.
A French service station in his house, yeah. Right. Changed his life, apparently.
Yeah, there were a lot of people got in touch with us. He wrote in a Guardian column.
His Guardian columns are incredible. They're always about the strange, like, banal, niche little things that he gets up to.
I've got a lot of time for Childs, but his partner is the editor.
Yes, I was,
so you do sort of go, I can see why he gets away with this.
Right.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Must be nice.
But the title of his article was, I have a urinal in my flat. And it changed my life. So why are people aboard? How did it change his life?
Somehow flat implies that it's not in the bathroom.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah, but it can't be, Jim, because how would having a urinal in your bathroom change your life? It's the same thing. It just makes everything a bit more hygienic. Whereas if it was a rogue thing, like it was in the lounge, so he could still watch football.
You mean like
the
way that people in flats have kitchen diners sometimes?
All that sort of stuff, exactly.
The toilet bedroom.
No, but it has to be something, Fish.
That doesn't go far enough. I think if you're going to go that way with it not being in the bathroom, you just essentially have access to each pipe as it runs around the flat. Just got a little entrance in each pipe.
Oh, no.
You pop off a lid, in you go. Saves your trip to the bathroom. Pop it back on again, it's fine.
But if it changed his life, it has to be something radical. It can't be in the bathroom.
I think it changed his life because I think he's in his head, he thinks he's brought back time. But what that says to me is, I reckon he doesn't wash his hands.
Yep.
Right.
Agreed.
Fair.
Agreed. Yep. Gentlemen, let us move on to something completely different. Ben Foster has retired.
Oh.
Again.
He'll be back.
He retired last September, but signed for Wrexham in March this year. Had, what was it, 12 appearances, I think? And he does go down in history with that club. That save against Notts County on their way to promotion, of course. But he conceded 13 goals in 4 games this season so far, which was not brilliant. He was a bit poor in the 5-all draw on the weekend. And he said, you know what, I'm not at the standard I want to be, so I'm out.
We kept turning to camera saying, don't forget to hit like and subscribe before turning around and trying to save the ball, and it just doesn't work.
I think I have really enjoyed his YouTube output while he's being a professional footballer. And came out weird. A classic Wednesday sentence. And I think it's going to be a real shame because I really like watching him sort of just, you know, tell us about the hotel he's in on an away day and doing like drills and stuff. I really like that stuff.
He probably can still do that, but just more as a fan, I would say.
I think the danger of someone like that having more time to talk on YouTube is you end up talking about the same things that other people talk about on YouTube.
True, yeah.
Maybe you'll start doing music, boxing.
Yeah.
That's what they all do, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's true, yeah. Maybe he'll do a Matt Letizia. Let's hope not, though. Let's
doesn't
hope
seem
not.
Tight.
I mean, could he get picked up by other football clubs producing content, say like Newcastle United?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the second and I think third and fourth episodes dropped.
So they're dropping a couple of episodes at a time now?
Well, I think they're supposed to. I think they were supposed to drop one episode a week, but I think something went wrong on Amazon's end. They dropped all four, revealed that Adidas had signed a contract with Newcastle United. And so Adidas had to proper Keystone cops it and go, we're doing this. It's just good stuff.
So how's it all been going, though?
So episode one was very much, you
for
know,
those of us
sports
who don't want to
washing
watch
as an art form, and it was very heavy on Staveley and Core. This one is more based around the cup final.
Yeah.
And
what it means to the city.
What it means
and the
to the city and Dan Byrne. And, I mean, to be honest, like, Amanda just... She has a very strange way of
Amanda
addressing
Staveley.
People. Amanda Staveley, yes.
How are you feeling, Angel?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yeah. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, my favourite man.
Are you all right?
I'm good, my angel.
My
angel, favourite one. Yeah. Very huggy.
She
very
reminds
intimate
me
hugs.
Of Mrs. Coulter from His Dark Materials.
Right.
A very sort of outwardly friendly persona that is just icy. There is ice in the veins, and you are so aware of it, and it's kind of frightening.
Yeah.
It's a lot of things, this documentary, and one of those things is boring. It's really boring,
but
isn't
these,
it?
These
not
these
much happens. A lot of
these,
football documentaries are, though.
Yeah, and they try and sort of like, it is just all about the investment fund. It is just all about those characters.
It's showing off.
But it just seems weird that they would do that.
Yeah.
It seems like they've kind of scored at their own goal a little bit because they're putting too much focus on that, and it's really distasteful for obvious bloody reasons.
They've sort of misjudged what's interesting about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the
back end of episode two details how difficult it was to get the front of shirt sponsor and how important it was to secure the functioning, function financially. Under financial fair play, get players in and stuff. And the way they try and sell the front of shirt sponsors, the way they sort of sell it is like being, well, this was a hard won thing. We all know where it is.
After approaching over 1,000 companies, the club have two deals on the table and need to make their choice.
From a financial perspective, the seller opportunity is the one that we should progress.
That was me dropping my pint because I couldn't believe that they'd managed to nail down Sailor. I mean, wow. How did that happen?
And they've approached over 1,000 companies. They've got two on the table.
Yeah.
That makes them look crap.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit about the rule changes meaning that clubs can't be sponsored by companies who are linked to the club's owners. And they are fuming about that. And she's sort of talking about how, oh, we've got so little revenue anyway. She's talking about how it's sort of outrageous. But it's like, that's the level playing field. That's the same for everyone. And they essentially get what they want in the end anyway, because
it
becomes the case as we have it now, where you just have to prove that the sponsorship is at sort of market rate.
Mm.
But it's still a very generous loophole. There is a bit I enjoyed at the end. Before the cup final, where there's a fan who says something like, if Newcastle win the cup, the country will never have seen anything like the reaction up in Newcastle.
And again, threatening.
It is one of the, it does get lost that it's impressive that there's such a sort of fervent support for the club in a city that only has one club in it, don't you think?
Right.
So impressive. Always found that so impressive and unique about Newcastle.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Oh, where do they get that passion for that one club when there's only that one club? It's so...
You got Gateshead over the bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, love it, Jim. Having a go at the Piff Posse.
Ashington as well. They're there. Yeah. Or thereabouts.
Yeah, dear me. If you were a season ticket holder, Peter, would you throw your season ticket at them?
Not too valuable.
Ah,
they put the prices up.
Did they?
So yeah.
Oh, so you can be bought as well.
I would say that when I put the first episode sort of review on YouTube, the YouTube comments have continued to come in, and somebody was saying, "Oh yeah, well last season you were begging for a cup final ticket." I was like, "I paid $2,000 for that fucking from a scalper. I wish I had fucking begged. Cheeky shit.
$2,000.
$2,000.
We got a tweet.
Don't tell my partner.
We got a tweet from Grant Barker, who said, on the back of the throwing season tickets chat on Monday, I was at the Newcastle 4, Arsenal 4 game a few years ago and saw a man throw his season ticket at Pardew when Newcastle went 4-0 down after 20-odd minutes. Love it.
Would he have stuck around, you reckon? Or is it like, I've made my...
That's the thing. He might have stayed.
Yeah.
Alan, sorry, can I have that back? I lost it celebrating the fourth goal.
What, you want more of this? You want another, like, heart in your mouth nightmare situation where you have to come back from 4-0 down?
Pardew's like, can I do the dance? Okay, fine. Then you can give it back to me.
Pardew just gets out some Rizzler and starts rolling with it. What are you doing?
Gentlemen, let's end the show with some Roy Keane chat. Mark Pougash recently revealed that Roy Keane got into an argument with a woman at a Neil Diamond concert because she was repeating all the lyrics and singing along to Sweet Caroline.
Singing along to a song at a concert. He's annoyed about that.
Although, that's a notoriously sing-alongable song. Yeah.
If she's repeating the lyrics, though.
Oh, so yeah.
Like she's doing them just after. Like Neil Diamond song.
Like a hype
that
man.
That would be annoying.
Touching hands.
Well, trying to do it in the round.
I love it.
Also, Roy Keane would have given that. Who sings this song? Neil Diamond. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Let him sing it then. Let him have a sing.
Dear me. Love that, everybody. Right, well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere, because every Wednesday we're bringing an extended Ramble episode for you, our Patreon subscribers. So if you're signed up, keep listening for more Ramble goodness, which includes a new tale about Kevin Keegan from a listener. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, then get yourselves over to our Patreon by hitting the link in the show notes or searching patreon.com/footballramble to subscribe for just $5 a month. Also, don't forget now, because we're on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and always subscribe on your podcast app if you haven't. There we are. Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Farewell.
Thank you, Fatoush Nandaraja.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.